Good to see you. Special welcome to Anda. Let's think a little bit more tonight about what we shared on Sunday. And please feel free to give a testimony or a comment. Because I am really stirred up about this, and I know it's not me. I know it's from the Lord, and that's why, it's really it's good to go deeper in there. And you remember the verse that we started with in Luke 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a very sobering verse, very full of truth, and it's good not to avoid it, because it's like an arrow that it is unerringly going to the right target in us. And there can be many things that we can treasure in our lives above our relationship with the Lord. And whether that is family or work or all kinds of things, sport. It can occupy my it can be like the really what I enjoy and what I follow after. And it can be hidden. It's not something I might reveal to others. But the Lord is saying, don't kid yourself, don't fool yourself. That's where your heart is. It's a warning to all of us. Like Lot's wife, looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where her heart was. But what
you're on mute, Pastor John.
Yeah, accidental. Sorry. So we are we all have our heart in the spiritual life, and how Jesus spoke with Mary on resurrection morning and said to her, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And this has brought us into a brand new relationship, something that was never before. And it to understand the privilege of that new relationship with the Lord, surely that is our treasure. Surely that is what we're seeking after. Surely we understand that, what the price that was paid to give us that relationship. But, the reality is that there is a lot of confusion in our minds between the natural life and the spiritual life. And you know, we can think of it quite clearly in these terms. You know, Israel was absolutely convinced that they were spiritual. And think about it. If you were in Israel at the time of Jesus and saw the Pharisees and the priests, there is not the slightest doubt that they considered themselves to be better because they were spiritual and because of the law. And this thinking, you know, I am spiritual because I am doing something or acting in a certain way, is a complete misunderstanding of what it means to be spiritual. And it pervades in the church today. And, you know, especially in legalism, that if I comply with God's commands, you know, if I fulfill the law, or I think I fulfill the law, then somehow I am spiritual. And, you know, it is so commonly understood among Christians that, you know, if I attend church, if I give in the offering, if I do this or do that, then I look at myself as being better and as being spiritual. But complying with God's commands will never make the flesh spiritual. Let me repeat that and underline that. Just if I fulfill the law completely, let's say that if I was, you know, really a good person and did everything that the law required, like the rich young ruler, would that make me spiritual? And the answer is absolutely 100% no. You know, even if a person acts spiritual, you know, we are carnal by our very nature. So it's not what I do, it's who I am. And this is so important for us to be clear. And, you know, because the Jews thought that they were superior because of the law and because of their history and because of, you know, what they did, because of circumcision, the Gentiles were the opposite. They considered themselves to be inferior and fleshly because they were not like the Jews. But, you know, it's a absolutely false premise in 2,000 years ago and today. There is something brand new that the Lord has brought in. And, you know, are we clear about this? Are we crystal clear in our own minds and in our hearts about this? That what happened there on the day of the resurrection, it changes everything. It really changes everything. You know, it's very interesting for me, and we've spoken about this before, that, you know, of course we love the Gospels, and they are telling us so much about the character of Christ. But the fact that people are not prepared to study the epistles, it reveals something. And it is, you know, a life that is a little bit rooted in Judaism. And this issue of fulfilling a set of requirements. But this is not our way. Let's turn to Galatians together and read some verses, because it's, you know, these are amazing verses. And even though we have read this maybe many times, it's great. They're amazing words. Now let's start in verse 12. So Galatians 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. That is a great statement. To make a fair show in the flesh. And sadly, that's what happens to Christians so often. It's like the desire is not to be spiritual, but to make a fair show in the flesh. And here in this church, the Judaizers, they were saying to people, to the Gentiles, well, you know, if you want to be spiritual, you have to be circumcised. And Paul is coming very strongly against this, because he knows this principle is very, very important. In verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can relate to this statement on a very superficial level. We can relate to this statement because we've heard it many times before. But, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to make this very fresh to us. That there is nothing in our lives that, you know, we can pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, I'm good. I'm doing better than somebody else. You know, nothing. Zero. Absolutely nothing. It's Paul is saying, God forbid that I would glory in anything but the cross. And why does he speak about the cross here? It's because the cross is the only thing that crucifies and deals with the flesh, the root source of all the problems. So that is why we glory in the cross, is that it brings us into spirituality. It's the only thing that brings us into spirituality. It's amazing. You know, it puts us on this beautiful, even level. There's not, you know, somebody who is doing better than others. No, it is, you know, I glory in the cross of Christ. That is the bottom line in our lives. Very, very simple. Verse 15, neither in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So to put it very simply, what I do or what I don't do is not the issue. It is the new creation. That is everything. That's who I am. That's what I relate to. That's how I relate to other people. That's how my relationships in the body of Christ are based, not on my preferences, not that I like this person, not that I get on well with this person, not that we're the same, you know, same type, you know, we like the same things. God forbid. No, our meeting place is the cross, where the flesh has no power, it has no strength, it is crucified forever. Now, you know, we speak a lot rightly about the blood in you know, in the messages, in the raps, and everything. The blood is very important for us. But what does the blood signify? The blood always signifies the death of the flesh. So every time we take the communion together, what are we saying? It's saying that, you know, there is no place for the flesh here. There's no room for the flesh to live, for the flesh to give its opinion, for the flesh to consider itself to be spiritual. It's like, no, the blood says it's died, it's over, it's finished. And the only thing that is of value is the new creation. This is everything for us. This is our life. This is, you know, it's ground zero. And it's a wonderful place to be. And how often we want to be reminded of this. It's amazing. It's wonderful. So let's read verse 15 again. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And actually, you know, I can put anything in that verse where the flesh would want to glory in some way. You know, my experience, my knowledge, you know, my intelligence, my social skills, all these things are nothing. And it's purely the new creation that is of any effect in our lives. It's an amazing thing. Now, if we go back to Galatians chapter 5, and verse 2, we see Paul is, you know, speaking a lot about this because it is so, so important. And, you know, please understand that here in Galatians, he's talking about circumcision and this party of Judaizers in the church that would want people to conform. And that's what it is. They want people to conform to their idea of spirituality. Does that happen today? Yes, it does. Not with this particular issue. You know, that's something that happened in the early church and is not happening today. Yeah, but there are many other issues that could be in this place. And I think we understand that. So Paul says in verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." That's a strong statement, isn't it? That's a, you know, you could say, "Paul, boy, you're offending me. I don't like that." And, you know, what could we say that would be relevant for 2024? And I think, there are many things that we could put in here, but if I say unto you that, if you are a, let's say, attending church, and that is the basis of your view of spirituality. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a great necessity and a blessing to be in church. But that is not what makes me spiritual. It's the new creation. And anything that I exalt instead of the cross is going to end up in the fact that Christ profits me nothing. And, that's quite a serious thing. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. And then in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whenever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So whenever I make a standard for myself or for other people, what is the issue? I am falling from grace. It means that, the grace that God has given, I'm not using for the purpose that it was given. I'm making my ability, my strength, the way that I can do things better than other people, that makes grace of no power, of no effect. Serious issue, but it's happening all around us, and we want to understand this. That, everything changed on resurrection morning. Everything changed. I am now on a completely new, wonderful, amazing relationship with the Father. And it's not on the basis of what I do. It's about who I am in Jesus Christ. And that is so wonderful. It's so amazing. That is our treasure. And we fight for that. We rejoice about that. It's not a small thing. It's not a little thing. It's a big issue. It's a huge issue. It's why we are who we are in Maritzel Ha. It's why Bible school is so important to us. Hearing the word of God is so important to us. It's why teaching grace is so important to us. It's why the finished work is going to be our foundation forever. And we make no excuses of it. So it's a powerful thing. And we understand the battle that Paul was fighting here. It's the same battle that we fight. And it's amazing. In verse 6, he says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. So, can we get it any clearer in our hearts that our existence as a church, our existence as spiritual believers is only on the new creation side. It's only as being, risen with Christ, and, the flesh has nothing to do with it anymore. It's crucified. It's gone forever. The first Adam is you know, 6 feet under the ground. This is our joy and our hope as a church. And that's why, you know, we don't want to go back into this, you know, churchianity, where I'm doing what I want during the week, and then, oh yeah, I come on Sunday, we'll wear a nice tie and whatever, and oh yeah, you know, I listen to the message, but I don't listen. This is not our life. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a completely new basis, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's a privilege and a gift from God, and it's something that we don't run away from. We don't give higher priority to anything else in our life, because it's a treasure that God has given us. The amazing privilege of being a son of God, the incredible privilege of Jesus saying to us, you know, your father, your God, you know, I've opened the way through the veil for your sake, so that you would go through that and enter into his presence and fellowship there, and to be filled with resurrection life. This is the eternal purpose. And it's a absolutely amazing, wonderful thing. And then in verse 7, what does Paul say? He says, boy, you did run well. Who hindered you that you would not obey the truth? And we could shout that at Christianity today. And say, what happened? What happened? You know, how did we get to this place where we're at? You know, this foolishness that is occupying people when God has given us this treasure, that we would be, you know, going down these little side tracks and being, you know, having our vision, it's being sidetracked. We have priorities that are not real priorities. We have a life that Christianity has become an afterthought and is not the central thing in our lives. But, and Paul says, boy, you ran well. It was going well for you at one time, but somebody has come in to blind you and to take your desire and your hunger away. And you know, we say, wow, this is serious. You did run well. Who hindered you that you would not obey the truth? It's like, let's wake up and understand there's a spiritual battle going on. And it's a battle in our minds and for our minds and our thinking and how we think. So, wow, praise God. Every opportunity that God gives me, I'm going to be filled with the Word of God. Every opportunity where God opens the door, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go. I'm going to fill myself with truth and let the Word of God cleanse my thinking and give me the new creation thinking of the finished work. It's really amazing. He goes on, and it's like, it's really, really important. This persuasion, verse 8, this persuasion comes not from him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you will bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Wow. Praise the Lord. So let's think about, you know, as we said on Sunday, these are really the last days that God has given us. So we want to use our time wisely. We want to redeem the time. That's the concept that God, that's what the Lord is calling us to. Not to waste our time, not to dilute our time, but to use it wisely. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we rush out and go to Timbuktu necessarily to preach the gospel. If God puts that on your heart, hallelujah, go and do that. But it's to prepare ourselves and to be ready to answer what God has put in our hearts. But this spirit of preparation to be taught by the word of God, to be in my heart, be stirred up in my heart. It's
you've muted again, Pastor John.
So, yeah, any comments, please?